So I was listening to last week's message again this morning, and I was looking at the opportunities. I want this recorded so that it's on the record. The person I was talking about earlier, Cornelli, and she has some very powerful questions. She wanted to know, like, so what happens when you don't agree with him? And he's very strong. I can tell that. What happens when he sees it like this? And I wasn't in the conversation, but they both gave me a little bit of insight of what the conversation was like. And I sat down and I thought about this business. It's a products business. I've never done products. So it's a new world for me. That's what I'm talking to you. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If you pay attention to everything that's happening in my life and everything that's blessing me, even though back from you, Esther, and the whole Broadway thing, it's all ventures that I never thought about doing and God just threw me into. So if I'm an example of how God wants to bless, you better put down your comfort zones. If this is how it works, let me just tell you this. I know it's how it works in this house under this anointing. Maybe go to somebody else's church and you can get a different sit on your A and wait anointing. But in here, I'm just trusting in Jesus. Okay, that may work somewhere else. It's very clear here the anointing is, I'm going to put you in something that you never even thought about and prosper you in it. Back to back to back to back, from diversity to now. And I just got my email letting me know I'm officially on the advisory board for United Way. Listen, all of this in less than a year. And it's more stuff. So now think about a product business. And I thought about it. I'm like, God, okay, I'm honest with God. I said, God, I'm nervous. I'm already going to start getting a salary. It's not bad either. And I'm like, Dad, I got a check coming from here and a check, here a check, there a check, everywhere a check, check. I take it. And I said, God, help me understand how I need to build this thing. And God said to me, stop focusing on the build. Think about everything I've been teaching you for months now. Focus on the foundation. You spend too much time focusing on the build. Not enough time focusing on the foundation. The house built upon the sand going to come down. It's still a house. It may be a beautiful house, but it's going to fall and great of it. Focus on the foundation, the thing that nobody talks about. You've heard me say that in the message. Nobody brings you to the house and says, look at my foundation. Isn't it beautiful? See the concrete house poured? Nobody focuses on that. They want to show you all the little trinkets in the house that have no bearing to the standing of that house whatsoever. They want to show you their couch. But without that foundation, there's no place for that couch to sit. He said, focus on foundation. So I sat back and I got on the phone with Nelly. I said, Nelly, I know you're a little frustrated about the way the business is not moving as fast as I guess you felt it should. And I said, I feel your frustration. I get frustrated. I said, but God showed me something. See, because the gold of God is in the hidden. You need me to say that again? The gold of God, the platinum, whatever you like better, it's in the hidden place. You know, gold, it's in rock ore. You gotta do some processing to get diamonds are the same. All the expensive stuff, it's all hidden. It ain't laying down the street and you walk down. It's stashed somewhere. You got to do some digging. You got to get equipment, special stuff. It's labor involved to expose what's hidden. And I said, God showed me something. And I said, you're again looking at what, you know, I want to have 50 customers a day lined up going out the door. Okay. What was your monthly income before we became partners. Do you know? She said, yeah. Negative $250 every month. Negative $250. That means every month you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. You know? Little bits, but still deeper. So I started saying, okay, so we pay you this, we pay me this, we pay this for rent, pay this for that, paying for your apartment, paying for your car, you're paying for this, paying for that, and we did the totals. Now monthly is plus 6,000. Negative 250 to plus 6,000. I said, that's a 6,000% increase. You see how we can miss God focusing on the stupid stuff that's right in front of our face? After we went through the numbers, I said, you are 6,000% increased. If you're negative, then anything is a dollar would have been 100% increase. I said, look at what God's doing. This stuff that you're not even counting as valuable, but I'm standing up here telling you, I'm happy and proud. I'm seeing the spirit of excellence. Look at your increase. Look at where you were, even if it's just spiritually. Jericho, I remember you had to stay here. You don't have to stay here anymore. Look at the increase. Look at what God is doing. With that said, I want to talk about, if you'll be so kind to go with me, I want to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. And I want to show you some things that you may have never seen before. We've been in Proverbs the whole time, so we just got to go to 12. And while you're going there, I want you to keep this in mind. We've been walking through all the principles. We went through WIPA. We went through the stuff we just went through, wisdom, insight, you know, and we're not done. But what I want to do is start to show you and hopefully help you realize the value or the seed and the gift that's being put in you already that you're not paying attention to. I want you to see what God is doing that you may not have like identified as treasure, but it is. See, listen to what I'm saying. Now, this is important. Listen to me. If you have no concept of mining, you know what I mean? Mining. I'm going to be real somber today because I really want you to get this. If you have no concept of mining, how many of you understand what mining is? Like if you're mining for gold, you're mining for silver, you're mining for platinum, you're mining for diamonds. Mining. Well, mining is different than digging. Right, it's just a whole bunch of work. The axe, you know, right, you know, you go in and you chop and you separate. Nobody in this room has a concept of mining. So let me tell you what that means. You can be walking through your backyard tomorrow and kick a rock that's a $1 million diamond and you would discard it as garbage because you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know how to identify it. You wouldn't know what to look for. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of us in this room could have that problem. We could walk back past a chunk of gold this big and not know it because it won't be shiny and glistening. Where somebody who knows it would be walking right with you and you're kicking, he go, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you realize what you just kicked? Yeah, I got your attention. Because that's scary. Because when you think about it, how many times have you kicked your gold? Or your diamond? Or your platinum? Or threw it away as rubbish when it was right there? How many times have we done it? And opportunities and people that God will bring to you, as Nelly said, I was rough. This is what the sister deals with. He's rough, though. At least she has you as a buffer. She could ask you questions. You didn't have nobody to ask questions. You just had to come in and get, She said, I thought you was boxing. You elbowed me in the face. Well, you had your guard down. This is, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. Especially if I'm going to be a partner. You ain't taking my money down with you. You're going to learn. You're going to learn fast. How many times have we missed opportunities in people that God put there to teach you to hone your skills, and you just disregard it and let it, you kick them aside like a rock? You got caught up in the humanity and you missed the move of God. I've done that. None of you ever done that? I've done that. You have to have a trained eye to spot spiritual riches. Repeat what I just said. Say it one more time. How many of you would acknowledge that you really might not be the minor that you need to be in spiritual things? This is why you ain't seeing answers. Not because God ain't moved yet. Glory. Is because your eye hasn't been trained to look beyond what's in front of you to what's in the spirit realm and see what God is showing you. This is going to be a very somber message today, but I need you to get this. All the stuff I'm teaching you about the spiritual stuff, the Bible says, lay up not for yourself treasures on earth where thief breaks through and rust corrupts and moss corrodes. He said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. For years, I was like, that makes no sense. Unless you get me one of them little tubes, you can put something and it shoot up to heaven. I have no idea what you're talking about. And he began to show me your vision, your sight, the way you look at things has to be spiritual. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. He had the ability to see what the world couldn't see. When Elisha said to Gehazi, those who are with us are way more than those who are with them. You know that story? Open his eyes. And God opened his eyes and he saw the angels and legions surrounding them. So he didn't have to be threatened by his life being in danger. He could say, Lord, smite him with blindness. Don't kill him. Then took him into the camp and fed him. Give him back their sight. Now go home and tell your king, run up on me if you want. But this is how it's going to go down if you do. I'm sure if he tried to send some of them up, was out there, was like, yeah, nah, I'm good. I'm defecting. I'm running off somewhere. I'm not doing that again. This is when you surrender to the mercy of God, regardless of what it looks like in front of your face. That's scary. It's scary. And the natural is scary. But when has God cared about that? I'm asking you for a surrender that you probably never done before in your life. It's rough. If I had each and every one of you come up here and put a blindfold on you and said, hold each other's hand and just trust me, you're still will be tempted to pull that blindfold off. You, especially if we get outside and you start hearing cars. You're like, okay, listen, I need to see what I'm doing. Because nobody likes walking in the dark. Nobody likes not knowing where they're being led. But in God, you have to get comfortable. You got to see through a different lens. It's not like you're blind. It's just you become blind to this world. You get blind to what they're showing you. I'm not paying attention to the media now. I'm just like really trying to pay attention on this voting. God, who do you want me to vote for? I don't want to hear what neither party is saying. They all make me sick. I what are you saying? You know what God said to me? When you get to the polls, I'll tell you. All right, then I know what level to pull when I get there. Well, you're not going to vote Democrat? Screw a Democrat. I don't care about a Democrat or a Republican. None of you ain't. No, I'm not from this planet. I'm in this world. I'm not others. I'm not getting caught up in that. God, who you tell me to vote for, that's who's going to win anyway. It's been the case since I've been voting. So I don't have to, you don't have to ask me who I vote for. Just look and see who won. Because I ask. And my whole insides were like, oh, you want me to, you want me to, He said, look what your alternative. I was like, all right. But why, God? Because I'm doing things that you don't even know I'm doing. I'm putting things in place that, and that's why I tell you, he took me to the Bible and he began to show me that he took Daniel and he took Esther and he took Shadrach, Meshach, and Joseph and put them in the hands of pagans and prospered them and prospered. You got to understand something. This is not a political conversation. I'm talking about spiritual insight. You'll miss this stuff when you read the Bible, probably because you don't read the lineages and understand what's going on. His brothers at home, where he was, where he lived, where he was born, his fam, his peeps, his crew tried to kill him. They threw him away. You ain't getting it. This is the one who had the vision. And the coats of the colors and all. This is the visionary. David's father threw him away. Threw him away. Go take care of the sheep. Shut up. Your brothers are the five ones. You're the sheep guy. And what does God do with somebody like Joseph? He takes them and puts them into the hands. Listen to me. Listen to me. Of a pagan. Of a pagan. And then, how bad is it? Are you listening to me? How bad have we become that God can't even trust us? He has to go to pagans to get his work done. How bad have we become as a church that he has to work through pagans? So he gives Joseph to a pagan, a Pharaoh at that, a pagan, straight up idol worshiping pagan, evil, cruel pagan. And his example before that pagan changes the heart of the pagan, that Israel now winds up being delivered from poverty through the pagan. Again and again and again. So I said, well, God, if you want to use that pagan to reaffirm, I love Mark Hill's words. Mark says, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a conservative. I like that. I like the way that sounds from the natural. God, how? I'm not telling you who to vote for. Trust me. Vote your spirit. I haven't decided yet, so I'm doggone sure I ain't telling you. But whatever it is, I want to be in line. I'm not talking about voting. I'm talking about the spiritual laws and the things of God. We form too many opinions, and then we expect God to function in line with our opinions. We expect God to flow in line with our attitude about things. Well, I don't know how many Christians prayed or didn't pray, but he wound up in office. Oops. But the scripture said, God exalts one, he puts another one down. I said, God, this man is horrible. I remember saying to God over and over and over throughout the time, he's horrible. Look at him. Look at him. He's horrible, God. What are you talking about? You put him there. The scripture said you exalt. You think it's the vote. It ain't the vote. You put him there. God said, why don't you pray for the pagans to line up with my instruction? Why don't you pray for the heart of the king to be turned? Why aren't you praying? You watching stupid news and drawing all kinds of conclusions. Why aren't you praying that my will be done in this situation? I don't care who gets in office. If God ain't leading them, they ain't going to do anything but pad their own pockets. So I digress. I went all off into that. So here's my point. In every area of my life, I have to pick what's not popular to not miss goal because I lack the ability to see. My spiritual eyes need to be sharp enough that I see God and what God's doing when it seems to go against the grain. Why would God send his people to Egypt to be delivered? It gets deeper. Why didn't his people then have sense to know when to leave? Oh, see, this is the kind of conversation that get you in trouble. Because they wound up slaves in Egypt, and we talk about that. But Egypt started as a place of deliverance for them. He sent back for the people they came there. It's party in Egypt. Then they start to serve Egypt's gods, even though their God brought them to Egypt. Oh, you're going to have this conversation. God brought them to Egypt to get the goods, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. He didn't tell you to become the sinner. He didn't tell you to become one with the sinner. He didn't tell you to act like them. He didn't tell you to worship their gods. He just told you to go there and be provided for. And he sent them there to be provided for. And then they stayed. And then they got accustomed. And then they began to worship stuff like them. And they began to do stuff like that. And all of a sudden, that guy died. And the new guy came. And he said, screw all of them. Why are they here? Isn't that what 45 is doing? Taking up our resources. It's them, that group. They're causing the problem. He didn't start that. That's as old as time itself. He came in and said, hey, if they weren't here, they're taking our jobs. They're taking all the good jobs, these immigrants. They're not Egyptians. And then they put them into slavery. Because your time is when God blesses you, Deuteronomy 18, and he delivers you to your final house. Don't forget it was God who gave you the power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant with you. He didn't give you that power so that you can live the way you want to live and do what you want to do and buy all the fly cars you want to buy and live in excess and tell everybody to go screw themselves because I got money. That's not why God prospers you. God prospers you to establish a covenant. What is the covenant? Open question. What is the covenant? He's giving you the power to get wealth. Do we need to go with Deuteronomy 18 or you know it? That part where he says, and don't forget, when he blesses you with your good houses and your lands and your cattle and all this wonderful stuff, don't forget it was God who gave you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you. What is this covenant? I could be rich. No, he gave you the riches to establish the covenant. So obviously riches is not the covenant. No, you hear the way people preach it, that's what they make it sound like. The covenant is God wants you to be rich. Yes, Jericho. Say that again. Okay, full trust in God. Okay, I'll take that. Sherry, Nelly, both of you had your hand up. Who's going first? Rock, paper, scissors. No, go ahead. You've been listening to me. The transfer of wealth and possession. Okay, go ahead. Same thing. I'm looking for something else. Go ahead. Just obey and I'll provide. We're getting closer. We're heading down that right road. Relationship. This is all the stuff I'm looking for. Keep coming. What you got, buddy? Divine protection. That's all part of covenant. Right? Go ahead. Keep. Okay. See. Put him first. He's God. That's the covenant. That's the relationship. I put you first in respect. So everything all you said is right, but the order is put me first, I provide. No. You didn't hear that. Put me first, I provide. Nah, but I can pull this and I can make this and that and I can do this. I used to deal with this with Lindsay all the time. I had to deal with this with Nelly still. You know, if I could just do a little more of this and get a little more of this and make a little more phone calls. And I'm like, huh? How often do I do any of that? And yet my cup runneth over. Like, what is wrong with you? Look at the birds of the air. They toil not. Now, I'm not making this up. This is scripture. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? They not on the phone all day making appointments, frustrated, pulling their hair out. Like, no, come on. For the black sisters pulling your weave out. You understand what I'm saying? This is rest. This is the gold I'm talking about. This is the diamond I'm talking about. You understand? This is the revelation I'm talking about. I rest in you. I rest in you. So other things can't grab me like that. When I rest, you're getting it now? Other things can't seduce me like that into fear and worry and panic when I rest in him. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I know who I trust. And that's why he trusts me, because I first trust him. You got that? Doesn't matter how it looks. It may not even feel right. But Lord, I just trust you. Yeah. And the devil's yelling in your ear, oh, it's going to be real bad. You're going to lose it all. Everything's going to go wrong. You better do something. God ain't showing up this time. And what you have to be able to say at that time is what the three boys said before they got thrown in the fire. I believe he's able. Even if he doesn't, I'm still not bowing to you. I'd rather burn. I'd rather lose it all than to get caught up in your anxiety and your fears and your worries and your trepidations that you're trying to put in my spirit and in my mind. I'd rather keep the steam that God gave me than try to suck into the fake one that you're trying to sow me. I don't need a strong self-esteem. I need a high God esteem. That's all I need. Take the self-esteem. Keep it. I don't even need to be acknowledged. Just forget it. God, I just want you to acknowledge me. The funny thing about God is he will not let you go unacknowledged if you surrender to him like that. He will not. Because he is a rewarder. See, telling you to leave all the stuff behind is not saying to you, take a vow of poverty. I'm saying, take a vow of poverty from the earth perspective. But he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God loves rewarding. The problem is you trying to get your reward instead of sitting back and letting your reward get you. That's the key. You want to know how I do it? I'm telling you how I do it. All the scriptures I've been doing, we'll do our verses next week. All the scriptures I've been teaching you, all the stuff I've been doing, all of it comes down to this. You're listening to me? I know what I read, but then I wait to see what I'm shown. I know what I read, and I know what it intellectually means to my 8th, 10th grade, whatever education I got. But then I sit there till the Holy Spirit reveals to me the jewel inside the rock, the hidden treasure, and the thing that just looks like a collection of a bunch of dirt. I don't feel like I'm getting anything from God. I'm saying this, all I got is dirt. Well, then you got something to plant vegetables. You got something always. God gave me that ability. Those of you who know me know that you could put something in front of me and I could sit there and say, how can we make money with that? There's got to be a way to make money with it. And it's so funny because I've sat with people and I've talked to them. They come to me and say, how can I make money? And I'll talk to them. They go, that sounds good. And I know when they walk away from me, you ain't going to do nothing with that. You ain't going to do squat with that. You're not going to do nothing with that because you don't have the spirit to do it. You, those kind of things that God shows me only manifest when you got a godly person that's a person that's in touch with God enough that can hear what you say and follow the instruction. They don't have to be godly as the kings have proven, but they have to be in a place where they go, well, I ain't got no other option. Let's just do it your way. And then they see it work. I expect to get answers instantly. I expect to seek God on how to fix something and figure it out on the spot. I expect to. Okay. You're all saying it? You're in agreement? Okay. Then that only works in the area of trust. That means you have to trust God regardless. You got to say, I expect to, even when your expectation doesn't seem to be being fulfilled at the moment. It ain't just saying it. It's like saying it, and now let's go through the process of becoming what I need to be. You can say, I expect a package from Amazon all day, but you ain't getting it if you ain't ordered nothing. Your faith is cute, but it don't work like that. So I'm going to wrap up. I really had a whole different way I thought I was going, but this is what God wanted me to really share. And it was part of the message, but I guess I had to get stuck on this one point. God has to trust you, but you have to trust him first. And when you trust him first, you prove to him that he can trust you. Come on, think about it. When you trust God first, you prove to him that he can trust you. You seeing it? God shouldn't have to convince me. I should trust him. And if I trust him, then he knows I'm always going to make the right decision. Because I trust him. And if I make the wrong decision and he corrects me, I'll adjust. Because I trust him. You guys are so blessed on so many levels. Because of that trust. Because you're learning to trust and to walk in that trust. You won't be let down. Today, make a decision. I will trust God. I will learn how to trust God so he can teach us how to mind correctly. All your resources in the realm of the spirit. And the more the enemy in the world can keep you focused on this dimension, you will continue to be offended, bothered, irritated, frustrated, and kicking away gift that God put right in front of your feet. There's not a person in here that their answer is not right near them. Not a person in this place. Okay, I'm going to say this and I'm going to wrap up. This is a good place to wrap up. Then. How many of you feel like you've been standing for something for a minute? It's like really believing, be it direction or thing, whatever it is. Let me see your hands. Would you believe me? That's almost most of you. If I said to you that your answer is already at hand, somewhere right around you. Would you believe me? I told you, like right literally in hands reach distance. Would you believe me if I told you that? If not, then he gives you all things that pertain to life and godliness would be a lie. It's not that you're not answered. It's that you're not mining. You don't know gold when you see it. It's right in front of you. I went for years not knowing that my ability to fix stuff or figure out stuff was where my wealth is. You'll take for granted that Pastor can fix anything. He can put the lights up, he can do the electrical, he can do the plumbing, he can do all this. I didn't go to school for any of it. I watched, I saw, and sometimes I didn't see. I just kind of looked up and said, what would be the best way to do it? And all of a sudden the light will come on in my spirit and I'll just do it. The gift was always there. The gift is here right now for you. And while you're running around seeking fool's gold, looking for bling, the real treasure lays right around you. And you're overlooking it. I pray right now that God teaches each and every one of you guys how to mind, how to see clearly what it is he's doing, how to trust his example and his voice, even when it goes totally against all the logic that you can possibly muster up. All the logic that the smartest people around you could come to you with should pale in comparison to your trust in God. I speak over you right now that you're released from the confines of this three-dimensional world. Your God is bigger and have sources that go beyond this world that you cannot even begin to imagine. I pray right now for you and everybody watching that your eyes are open, that your ears are attentive, that you hear the voice of God. You have that wisdom. You have that insight. You have that understanding. You have that knowledge, and then you have that knowledge of God flowing through you, that you can see the move of God when nobody else can. You can spot it when nobody else can. You can deliver when nobody else can. That's what Joseph did that brought Pharaoh from going to the brink of poverty to huge success, and which made him put him in charge, because the man who has the answers, who have wisdom, same thing with Solomon, is worth more than anybody else who can do the job. A lot of people can do the job, but God, let us be the people that you can trust. Just call that message that, the person God can trust. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.